In church this morning.
Morning.
I'm glad the speakers are working.
Yes.
So thank the Lord that we're able to get these the sound back again. And hopefully what we got done will last with what we bought. It's amazing to do I'm hoping that we had to replace the amp downstairs for the sound system. And so we got quoted, and Miss Kathy helped out a lot with that. We got quoted $1,300 to put a new amp in and switch it out. So I said, well, I had taken the amp out. Me and Kathy had talked. I took the amp out, the old one, a couple weeks ago and tried to take it apart and clean it. That's one good thing about the computer. You can look things up and try to do things that way. So we did that, and it still didn't work. So we put it back in there, and we had somebody come out and diagnose it, but then they were going to charge us $1,300 to put another one in. So I told Miss Kathy, I think we can buy another one and put it in. I could put it in myself because it's not that hard. You just unplug five cords and plug five cords back in again. So we were able to get one. Actually, it was a used one. Got a warranty on it for $280, $290. That's pretty good savings. Hopefully it'll last us a year or two, longer than that. Beats paying $1,300 for somebody to come out and put another one in. But I'm thankful we got speakers, so I don't have to yell as much. Thankful for that. Let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity this morning, Lord, just for your goodness to us, Lord. I pray, Father, just lead, guide, and direct this morning, your God. Lord, just give us what we need this morning. Lord, just thank you for our health, Lord. Thank you for the ability to come to church. Thank you for the ability to hear and see and have our being. Thank you for the sunshine, the beautiful day today, dear God. And Lord, we just glorify you and praise you in this day that you've given us. So let's be thankful for it, for this is a day you've made, and help us to rejoice in it. So God, we ask you to just meet with us today, Lord, as we look in your word, as we sing. Dear God, that you would just that we would just glorify you, and we pray these things now in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. A little something different this morning. If you take your 101 book, and please stand if you can. We're going to start off on page 59, page number 59, Heavenly Sunlight this morning. I'm glad we got the physical sunlight, but I'm thankful for the heavenly sunlight. Amen. Page 59.
Yeah.
95, we'll work till Jesus comes. Page number 95. Verses in here this morning to what we're trying to put to memory. Philippians chapter 2, we're going to continue on. Try to memorize from verse 1 to verse number 11. Now we'll try to take from verse 12 to verse number 18. So verses 12 to verse 18, but for this morning, we'll just take in verses 12 and 13 instead of 12 to 18. I'm sorry, 12 to 13 this morning. So Philippians chapter 2. Verse number 12 to 13 this morning. I'll say these together here. The Bible says in Philippians 2:12, "Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure." Amen. It's not talking about there, verse 12, where it's talking about you have to work out your salvation to be saved. It says, "Work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure." So you can't work out something you don't have. So it's not a matter of working to keep your salvation. It's to work the salvation you have to become stronger and stronger in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I think the birthdays we have today, Miss Burt's this coming week. Yep. Miss Burt's the 3rd, and then I don't think we'll hit Miss Gloria next week. But let's sing happy birthday to Miss Burt.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. God bless you and keep you. Happy birthday to you.
Amen. Also, we got some new bulletins put out for the month of June. One on the organ here, and there's some in the back as well. We're looking more at that this Sunday morning service. You can stand one more time here. We'll sing and finish up this morning on page 27. We're going to have to sing this one a cappella, but it's one of my favorite hymns. Page number 27, the 101 book. Oh, I want to see him. Page 27. Page number 27.
As I journey through the land, singing as I go, pointing souls to Calvary, to the crimson flow. Many soul from without within. But my Lord leads me on, through him I must win. Oh, I want to see him, look upon his face, there to sing forever of his saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. Cares all pass, hope at last, ever to rejoice. When in service for my Lord, dark may be the night, but I'll cling more close to him, he will give me light. Satan's snares may vex my soul, turn my thoughts aside, but my Lord goes ahead, leads where every time. Oh, I want to see him, look upon his face, there to sing forever of his saving grace. On the street of glory, let me lift my voice. Cares all pass, home at last, ever to rejoice. When before me billows rise from the mighty deep, then my Lord directs my bark, he does safely keep. And he leads me gently on through this world below. He's a real friend to me. There to sing forever of his saving grace. On the street of glory, let me lift my voice. Cares all pass, home at last, ever to rejoice.
Amen. You may be seated. Kids can go down to Sunday school. Amen. I'm glad I'm saved this morning. Hopefully it's your desire this morning to want to see the Lord Jesus Christ. Be in his presence. No, it's my desire to get home to heaven someday, see Jesus Christ. The truth is there, and that's that hymn that we sang there, trying to point souls to Calvary, to the crimson flow. But like I said, I believe on Wednesday night, the more you try to strive to live for the Lord Jesus Christ, the more what that hymnist said, many arrows pierce my soul from without within. But thankfully, the Lord leads on, and through him I must win. You know, the more you try to draw closer to the Lord, the darker it seems that the days may get. Spiritual oppression, spiritual battles. The devil not wanting you to try to point souls to Calvary. The devil not wanting you to tell others about what the Lord Jesus Christ has done and the deliverance that can be found in Jesus Christ. There's no deliverance to be found outside of the Lord. There's no deliverance to be found. It's all found in Jesus Christ. The hymnist goes on to say, when in service for my Lord, dark may be the night, but see what he says next. But I'll cling more close to him. He will give me light. Satan's snares may vex the soul and turn my thoughts aside, but the Lord goes ahead and leads where'er be tied. I'm thankful for that this morning. Brethren, we're in a big-time spiritual battle. I believe we're in a spiritual battle just for this church right here. I really do believe it. I covet your prayers greatly. I really do. I hope that you pray for me, because there's been a lot going on the spiritual side that I think that as the closer we move to the Lord's return, the darker the days are going to get, and the more the enemy's going to try to get in and
get people to quit, get people to give up, get people to walk away from the truth, and get people just to say it's not worth it. I'm not talking about lost people. I'm talking about saved people. To where saved people are just going to say it's not worth the battles no more. There's a good family we know, and I've known the family for years, 20-some years. The husband I've known for 23 years. I knew him when he was a little kid. And him and his wife have left church to go to another church and left off using the King James Bible. And there's this big push today with the ESV. There's one of the versions of the ESV, English Standard Version, that's now from the majority text. It's a lot of stuff going on to try to draw away true Bible believers to the ways that are false to an easier path. And one of the comments that was made by this the wife of this family, that things are going so much better for them now. Things are going well in their life. Things are going good. Yeah, because you're not in a battle no more. Yeah, you've left the truth. You got a false Bible you're using now. You're going to a liberal church. Of course you're not going to have no battles. What battles are you going to have? But when you try to draw closer to the Lord and in His Word and in prayer and trying to be about the Father's business, the dark days will come. Darkness paths I often tread. So with that in mind, let's look here over in Genesis chapter 4 this morning. Here in Genesis 4, the days are getting dark. We got the lineage from Adam all the way up to Noah. The godly line, the godly seed that the Lord has kept His promise with. And as we read through Genesis 5 and we get to the end of it, we'll see about Noah and how his name means comfort. But it's interesting that the Bible, before we go into chapter 5, the last part of chapter 4, verse 26 says, And to Seth and to him also there was born a son, and he called his name Enos. Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. Let's pray again. Father, I thank you for this opportunity. Please lead God and direct your God. Give the words that need to be spoken. And Lord, help us just to draw closer to you, Lord, and love you more. And we ask these things now in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. It says here, men began to call upon the name of the Lord. Take your Bible, look over at 1 Chronicles chapter 16. 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 7. 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 7. Me and Mr. Dave were talking about before the service here is the book of Revelation. And you know, it's when things are going well and things are going good, why should I call upon the name of the Lord? You know, if things are going bad, I don't have food, I don't have a job, I can't pay the bills, more likely that people then would call upon the name of God. But when things are going well and everything's provided for, why should I even be in church this morning? You know, why would I even want to go to church? I have everything I need. Why do I need God? But things got dark there in Genesis, and it says in Enos, after Seth, the men began to call upon the name of God, the name of the Lord. But look at 1 Chronicles chapter 16 and verse number 7. 1 Chronicles 16, 7, the Bible says this, Then on that day David delivered first this psalm to thank the Lord, into the hand of Asaph and his brethren. Give thanks unto the Lord, call upon his name, he says here. Give thanks first and then call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the people. Sing unto him, sing psalms unto him. Talk ye of all his wondrous works. Glory ye in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice and seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face continually. Here David gives this psalm into the hand of Asaph, and it's a psalm of thanks to God, and David is very thankful to the Lord, and the Bible says that he also writes here in his psalm, give thanks in verse 8 unto the Lord, but not only just give thanks, call upon his name, and not just call upon his name, but then also make known his deeds among the people. You see, it's our job as Christians just not to give thanks to God, not just to sing psalms unto him and talk of all his wondrous works, to glory in his holy name, but also to call upon his name and make known his deeds among the people. Right? Make known God's deeds among the people. Hold your hand right there. We're going to come back to 1 Chronicles and look over at the book of John and chapter number 9. John chapter 9. The book of John and chapter number 9. Book of John chapter 9. Now David said that give thanks unto the Lord, call upon his name, and then make known his deeds among the people. Right? In Genesis chapter 5, we find Seth, and then we find he has a son, Enos, and then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. But look what John chapter 9 says, and as verse 1, and as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? You know, Jesus passes by, they see this blind man, and rather trying to bring this blind man to the Lord for healing, the disciples there ask Jesus, well, Master, who sinned? Did his parents sin, and that's the reason why he's blind from his birth, or did he sin? Neither one are true. The man, this man didn't sin from his birth, neither did his parents sin. That is not the reason why he was born blind. Now look, this morning, remember what we read over, we're going to go back to 1 Chronicles again, but it said to sing unto the Lord, call upon his name, and then make known his deeds among the people, what the Lord does. You see, I try to put all this together this morning, when things are going well, and we have everything that we need, and we don't lack anything, things are going well, fine, there's an opportunity or a propensity to not thank God as much as we should, because we have everything that we need. Brethren, if all of a sudden the bottom dropped out and we don't have food, or food's very difficult to get, but then somehow you get a hold of some food, you're going to be really thankful for that food. If you've gone 2 days without it and somehow you get some, your thanks is going to be more given to God in that situation, I believe, than having your cupboards full and you go home and eat this afternoon. I think in most instances, if you go 2 or 3 days without food and you get some, you're really going to be thanking God, like, Lord, thank you so much you brought some food across my path. So when there's a need and a need is met, then the glory and praise to God seems to be more, or should be more to God. But that shouldn't always be the case. With the same intensity and thankfulness that we give to God if we go without, we should have that same thanks and intensity even though we have a lot. But the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. So we kind of get, like we talked about Sunday morning, we get complacent because of our prosperity, and the thanks isn't there as much as it should be because we just have. I didn't get in my van this morning and say, God, thank you, I have a car to get to church this morning. I didn't do that. But should I have? Probably, yes. I should thank God that I have a vehicle to be able to get to church. Because there's many countries to where people wake up 3 or 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning, walk many, many miles to get to a church service. I saw that firsthand down in Dominican Republic and Haiti. Some of those Haitians get up when they were inside, they get up early in the morning, walk miles through the mountains to get to a church service. I think we're missing something today. I think we're missing a hunger. We're not hungry. At least I'm not hungry like I ought to be hungry. And that's what's hurting our churches. We got a lot of knowledge today. We don't got a lot of hunger. We got a lot of Christians arguing over, stupid stuff. We're concerned about the gap theory. we're concerned about. Now, I'm not saying some of these things don't have their place and time in some instances, but I think we've gotten so fat, dumb, and happy as Christians that we're not hungry for the Lord. We're more content just to argue about stuff that don't matter. It don't matter. When it comes down to eternity and where we're living right now, it don't matter. There's saints arguing right now in churches. It's splitting churches apart of how Old Testament saints were saved. How does that affect you today? I'm being serious, brethren. It's breaking apart churches. It is a big thing now in independent Baptist churches. Pastors not talking to other pastors and church members not talking to other church members because they believe one way in the Old Testament. And the devil, I think, just sits back and laughs. Look, I'll get them fighting among themselves about some. Are we in the Old Testament right now? No. Are we in a tribulation right now? No. What should we be concerned about? How are people saved now? I have my opinion, you have your opinion. But let's sit down and argue over it. And then we'll get in a fight over it, and the church will be split. It's happening right now. There's pastors out there, I've heard it. And this thing is creeping into churches and I'm not fellowshiping with you because you believe this way about Old Testament salvation. Because we're fat, dumb, and happy. We don't see any need of drawing close to God in tears, and the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. The effectual fervent prayer. When's the last time we prayed fervently? I'm being serious this morning. I see things now as a pastor. I just shake my head. I tell you before, my pastor, Lord willing, he'll be coming up in a week and a half, and I'm just going to hug his neck and say, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for just sticking with the book, trying to put things out there, trying to give character to God's people, to just stay faithful with the things that matter. I'm so thankful my pastor didn't get caught up with all this other nonsense out there and just fed the flock, gave the flock what it's needed, the true things that are needed to live for Jesus Christ when these days are going to get dark. I was talking to a brother last night, and I said, brother, I said, these situations, brother, I was trying to talk on the phone in my backyard last night, but it was kind of almost impossible to do so because of this epidemic in Allentown, not just in Allentown, Bethlehem, Easton, all the way down to Dover, Delaware, I believe, all the way up through to Philly and every town, big towns. And you know what, I've read the news articles here in Allentown that a lot of the chiefs of police around here are trying to figure out how to handle this problem with these motorcycle gangs and ATVs taking over streets. And it's just not in our town here that they're dealing with this. It's all along the upper east coast here. And brethren, I'm telling you that this morning, if they don't, and me and my wife talked about it, they need to deal, I'm going to get to a point with this, they need to deal harshly with it. They need to ring some bells so people stop, because brethren, it's not, right now it's a mob rule on the road. I don't know if any of you have experienced it or seen it. But when you get 20 or 30 of these bikes on the road and they're doing wheelies and they're taking over both sides of the road to where all traffic has to stop and they're the king of the road, that eventually, if that's not stopped, that is going to creep into your stores and you're going to have 20 or 30 young people, mobs, rush a store, steal everything and rush out, and the police are really going to have nothing to be able to do about it. They're not going to be able to do anything about it. A couple years back, it was happening in Washington, D.C. There's actually a video of it. I believe it's a CVS or a Walgreens or something. And there was like 20 to 50 kids, young people, rush a CVS, destroy it, and then rush out. You ain't stopping that. Even if you have four or five police officers, fine. You're not stopping 50 people without you getting hurt. And so I say that to say that there's things going on in our country that things are going to get dark quick. And Christians need to wake up, because we're not reversing this thing. I read the article, the chief of police are like, we don't know how to handle this situation, we don't know how to stop. Well, the police need to do something. There's only so much police can do. Right? It's very easy, hindsight 2020, to get on those police officers down there in Texas saying, you should have responded faster. You should have gone on and you should have done this and you should have done that. Hindsight is 2020. But you put on a gun, you put on a badge, you put on a vest and go out there and try to handle situations that take milliseconds to handle, and you got to make decisions. And guess what? If you handle it wrong, you're not the one having to stand before 12 people judging you in a civil law case, civil suit. You see, everybody wants the police to respond quick, but then when the police do and they handle something the wrong way because they handled it too quick, now we need to sue them and they need to go to prison for it. It's easy looking back saying this is how it should be done. It should be done this way. Yeah, you're not there in the middle of it. And I say all these things to say things are getting dark. When you can have a young man go in and kill up a bunch of little kids, that's, to me, devil possession. There's no other answer for that, how you can go in and shoot little kids. So I'm not excusing what's being done, and maybe the police could have done something different, but we need to be careful all the way around before we just bring down condemnation because we didn't... No, our society has put that man in that position. And we don't want to take responsibility for it. We want to blame everything but the problem. Video games aren't the problem. The music that our kids are listening to aren't the problem. The television programs aren't the problem. No, video games don't affect kids. Video games don't mess with their minds. Video games don't put things in there to go do things that because they know better. Maybe not. And so I say all this to say things get dark, and as we as Christians, our hunger ought to be and thirst ought to be out to be after things that are right, that are righteous, that are godly. Because we're going to need it as these days get darker. We're going to need the Lord Jesus Christ even more. We're going to need His Word even more. And we're going to need one another even more as the days get darker. Not less, but more. So you see here, we go back to Genesis. You have things getting dark, and then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. You would hope that as we get darker days that would come in, men would call upon the name of the Lord. You know what was needed down there in Uvalde, Texas, is people to start crying out to God, God, why are these things happening, Lord? A hunger and thirst back to God. God, why, God, Lord, why would a young man go in and do something as heinous as that? Because we've rejected God, we've turned our backs on Him, and we're not hungering after God. Why? Look at verse number 3 here. In John chapter 9, Jesus answered, because they asked, who sinned, the parents or the kid, the son? Jesus answered, neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents. So God, why would you cause a little child to be born blind? Lord Jesus, why would a little child not have the ability to be able to see? Lord, why would you ever even think about having a child born that couldn't see, that would be blind? Look what Jesus says. Jesus answered, neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. You know why bad things sometimes happen to good people? That the works of God may be made manifest. That the works of God may be made manifest. We're going to look at it as we further on go in this study here. But you know why bad things sometimes happen to good people, godly people, Bible-believing people, people that are saved, so that God can work through them and show His power and glory. Jesus said, this man wasn't blind because he sinned, and his parents didn't do something wrong in sin, and that's why God's punishing them with a blind child. No, Jesus said, this child was born that the works of God should be made manifest in him. What other way could Jesus show that he was the Son of God than to take this young man, this man has been born blind from his birth, and heal him to where he gives him sight? That the works of God may be manifest and God can be given glory because Jesus now could say, I'm going to heal this young man of his blindness to where he can now see. To give God glory and honor and also help this young man in his walk with God. We're going to go on and see this. But when days get dark, hopefully people will call upon the name of the Lord. I know a lot of things that are happening in my life and I see happen in society is weighing even heavier on my heart to try to draw closer to the Lord Jesus Christ in my own personal walk with Him. to try to read my Bible more, to try to meditate upon what I'm reading, not just read it, but ask God to show me something, give me something, help me to grab a hold of some truth or principle, Lord, in your word that I can rest upon that. You see, if all of a sudden the bottom drops out, that's too late then to start working on your walk with God. We ought to be working on our walk with God now. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. That word trembling is a pretty strong word. Think about this for a moment with the early church. What was the early church facing that would cause them to fear and tremble? Persecution. Brethren, think about that for a moment. What Paul, what John, what Peter, read the book of Acts. Peter and John were told, do not say anything in the name of Jesus. You say anything in the name of Jesus, you're going to prison. And you know there's a bill that they've been trying to pass for a while now over in Israel? The ultra-Orthodox sect over there in Israel, I got a little newsletter that came to the church, and I didn't even realize how bad it was over there with this. But the ultra-Orthodox Jews that are in the Knesset, I believe I'm saying that right, their Congress, their government over there, have been trying to get a bill passed for a number of years now that would make it illegal to possess any other religious material outside of what they approve. And to speak in Jesus' name or things along those lines, that this bill would allow the police to come into their homes and search their homes. And if any material propaganda was found, they could be thrown into prison. Any tracts, any Bibles that had the New Testament, you go to prison. This is in Israel. They were also going to say that if you got caught witnessing or trying to proselytize someone, not just with Jesus, but any other religion, you could be thrown into prison as well. That's going on right now, and they're trying to get those bills passed over there in Israel. So when you have persecution, it's the same thing as I said earlier, to where if you don't have food today or tomorrow, your prayer life's going to improve because your stomach's going to make your prayer life improve. Because you're hungry. And the hungrier you are, the more fervent you'll be in your prayers. Go 3 days without food, and your prayers are going to be pretty fervent. Like, Lord, please provide something, God. Lord, can I have something to eat, please? But see, the Lord desires for our prayers to be that fervent now when our stomachs are full. And when we don't have no need of nothing. You see, complacency. Complacency. So the reason that young man was born blind was that the deeds of the Lord may be made manifest. Go back over to 1 Chronicles 16 real quick here. Verse 11, seek the Lord and his strength, seek his faith continually. Remember, look at verse 12 says, remember his marvelous works that he hath done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth. O ye seed of Israel, his servant, ye children of Jacob, his chosen ones. He is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. Psalm 86:5 says, for thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive and plenteous in mercy upon all them that call upon thee. Now, take your Bible, look over at Genesis chapter 5. I want to get to this morning before we close out Sunday school this morning. Genesis chapter 5 now. We looked at verses 1 and 2 a couple weeks back because I had forgotten my notes to finish up Genesis chapter 4. But Genesis chapter 5, verse 1 and 2, we'll start reading here. It says, this is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day that God created man, in the likeness of God made he him. Male and female created he them, and blessed them, and called their name Adam in the day when they were created. And Adam lived 130 years, and begat a son in his own likeness, after his image, and called his name Seth. And the days of Adam, after he had begotten Seth, were 800 years, and he begat sons and daughters. And all the days that Adam lived were 930 years, and he died. And Seth lived 105 years and begat Enos. And Seth lived after he begat Enos 807 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Seth were 912 years, and he died. And Enos lived 90 years and begat Cainan. And Enos lived after he begat Cainan 815 years, and begat sons and daughters, and all the days of Enos were 905 years, and he died. And Cainan lived 70 years, and begat Mahalalel. And Cainan lived after he begat Mahalalel 840 years, and begat sons and daughters, and all the days of Cainan were 910 years, and he died. Mahalalel lived 65 years, and begat Jared. Mahalalel, I think I've said it different each time I've read it, lived after he begat Jared 830 years, and begat sons and daughters, and all the days of Mahalalel were 895 years, and he died. Jared lived 162 years, and begat Enoch. And Jared lived after he begat Enoch 800 years, and begat sons and daughters, and all the days of Jared were 962 years, and he died. And Enoch lived 65 years, and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God. After he begat Methuselah 300 years, and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Say, why'd you read all that? Because it's in the Bible. Because it's in the Bible, and it's important to read. Because I think what it does for us is it gives us character. To press through things that we think just don't matter, but to God they matter. Or else they wouldn't be in the Bible. So we ought to read through the begats. When you get to Chronicles, you read in Numbers, and it just seems like, Lord, why are you repeating yourself 20 times? Maybe there's a reason why God's trying to teach us patience and fortitude to push through times to where it just seems like we can't push through. What's the purpose of it, God? God says, just read it anyways. So anyways, one thing we do see in Genesis chapter 5 with these generations that are given is that man's born and man dies. Proverbs 27:1 says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Through all these generations, even though some of them lived, Adam lived 930 years, Seth lived 912 years, Enos lived 905 years, Cainan 910, Mahalalel 895, and Jared lived 962 years. One thing's consistent, no matter how long they lived, they came to the point to where they passed on and off the scene. They died. So from Adam all the way up here now to Enoch, men die. They're born. It doesn't matter if they live 950 years or 800 years. At some point, they cross over to the other side. Physical death occurs from Adam all the way up to Enoch here. Take your Bible and look at Job chapter 15. Job 15 and verse number 14. Job 15, 14. Why did these men die? Why did mankind die? Because of sin that entered into the world because of man's
man that he should be clean, and he which is born of a woman that he should be righteous. Behold, he putteth no trust in his saints, yea, the heavens are not clean in his sight. How much more abominable and filthy is man, which drinketh iniquity like water. Those are some pretty heavy words that Leviathan is putting forth about mankind. But it's true because Jeremiah says basically the same thing. Outside of Jesus Christ, we're filthy and abominable. There's no good in us, though we may want to think that there's good in us. There's no good in us outside of Jesus Christ. Amen. There may be some people who, in our own eyes, live a little bit cleaner than some people that live vile. But in the eyesight of God, all mankind is filthy and undone. There's none righteous, no, not one. And every man outside of Jesus Christ is a stench to his nostrils. But mankind wants to think that, God, there's got to be a little bit of good in me outside of you. No, there's none good, no, not one. The only one that was good is God. And Jesus made that claim, that man that came in to good master. He said, well, hold on, time out here a second, sir. There's none good but one, and that's God. So don't call me good unless you're going to recognize my deity.
Right.
You see, because we think maybe that we have character, we raise with character, we didn't get caught up in some of the things that other people got caught up in, we may have the propensity or the tendency to lean upon, well, to raise ourselves above others that are what we would deem in our own eyes more wicked than we are. No, we're all equal. We're all sinners before God in need of a Savior. Take your Bible, still look at Job. Look over at chapter 25. Job chapter 25. Short little chapter. Look at verse 4. Look what Bildad says. Job chapter 25, verse number 4. He says here, Job 25, verse 4. Job 25, 4. Job 25, 4 says, how then can a man be justified with God? Or how can he be clean that is born of a woman? Behold, even to the moon, and it shineth not, yea, the stars are not pure in his sight. How much less man that is a worm, and a son of man which is a worm? Is a man pretty honest with himself? Or I'm nothing but a worm. Or outside of Jesus Christ, I'm nothing. I'm wicked and I'm undone, Lord, without you and your mercy and your grace. Take your Bible, look over at Psalm chapter 8. You say, well, that's just those men there thinking that of themselves. Look at what David says in Psalm chapter 8. Psalm 8, verse number 3. Psalm chapter 8, verse 3. Psalm chapter 8, verse number 3. Look what David says here in the Psalm. It says, verse 3, when I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? What is man? What is man, Lord, that you are even mindful of him? I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus. How he can love me, one that is a sinner and unclean. I'm amazed at it, brother. I don't know if you've ever been amazed at it, but I've been amazed at the love of Jesus Christ. I've been amazed, I'm amazed that God would become a man. God manifest in flesh for this purpose, to love me enough to go and die for me and my sins. It makes me want to ask a question like David asked, Lord, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and is something that thou would even visit him? It would have been something that the Lord would just come down here and just visit with us. That would be something. But not only did he come down here 2,000 years ago and do nothing but good to mankind. Nothing but good. Jesus Christ went around doing nothing but good. And it seemed like the more good he did, the more the people wanted to put him to death. You know, you read through John. Jesus heals a man with a withered hand. And it's just like the Lord saying, and he always does things on the Sabbath day just to make the religious crowd mad. It was like the religious crowd gave Jesus the hardest time. And it's like the Lord saying, I'm the one that made the Sabbath. I made the Sabbath for you to rest. I can do good on the Sabbath. There's nothing wrong with doing good on the Sabbath. And it amazes me that he would heal a man of a withered hand, or a man that couldn't walk or had lame legs, and they would just want to condemn him and put him to death because of the good that he did. And David says here in David's heart, David says, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? Man's a sinner, and man dies, yet God loves man and was willing to come to die for man's sins. Look at Romans chapter 5, verse 12. Romans 5, verse 12. From Adam up to Enoch, generation after generation after generation died and passed off the scene because of the sin that Adam and Eve committed there in the garden. Yet God loves man, God loves the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Look at Romans chapter 5, verse 12. Romans 5, verse 12. Look what the Bible says here. The Bible says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world," and look what it says next, "and death by sin. So death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." Now, I don't mean the statement meanly, or I hope you take the statement next. Please understand. That's the reason why there's death. Because of sin. You know why those little kids died? Because of a sinner. Because of sin. Sin is in this world. Men are sinners. And unless men get born again and converted and changed by the power of the Holy Ghost, men will be men and will do wicked things because of sin. You say, why, preacher? Hold your hand there in Romans and look over at John chapter 10. John chapter 10. John 10:10. Look at these verses. We read in Romans that the reason there's death in the world is because of sin. Because of sin, there's death. Because man disobeyed the garden, there's death now in this world because of sin. Look what Jesus says in John 10:10. So not only do we have sin to deal with, you also have the devil to deal with. Because look at verse 10. "The thief cometh not before what? Before to steal and to kill and to destroy." Brethren, you know what kept the devil at bay and the powers of darkness at bay in this country for a couple centuries? Because this country had a respect to God in that book right there. You say, you know what? Light repels darkness. But the more you put off the light, the darker it gets, and the darker it gets, the more the devil will still kill and destroy. You see, this country, in a sense, was a godly nation. In a sense to where even if men and women weren't saved, they had a respect and an honor to God. They might not have gone to church, they might have been a drunkard, they might have been a thief, they might have been an adulterer, but deep down they still had respect to God. There was still a respect to God for the majority of the country in the 1700s, in the 1800s, in the early part of the 1900s. And men were still trying, for most part, to raise their children by the principles of the Bible. So therefore, you had generation after generation in this country that even though they might not have been saved, they had character because they were trying in some semblances to do things according to the Word of God. They would still spank their children. They still had respect to God. They still tried to do right by their neighbor for the most part. I'm not saying that there was no crime or anything that didn't happen that wasn't wicked. There was some wicked things that occurred. But as a whole, this country had a respect and a reverence to God in some ways. Mm-hmm. But what we've done in the early part of the 20th century is we took that book and we put it out. We run away from God and we removed ourselves from God. Therefore, the days are getting darker. That is why you're seeing some of the heinous things you're starting to see. Is because there's no more. The light is very dim. The light is very dim, brethren. The light for brethren. Sometimes I don't. The light is dim. Because we don't hunger and thirst after righteousness. And if the church is, brethren, look at how many people in church here this morning. 21 people, 22 Miss Donna and the kids. Less than 25 people. And I don't know how many are in other independent Baptist churches around here that are preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. There's at least 4 or 5 that I know of. But I believe they're preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. We would say, well, okay, but they're preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. So they're a light in my eyes in some senses, right? We might not agree with everything, but they're preaching the book. And I guarantee it, out of all five churches, six churches that are in this area, my numbers could be off. Even if there was, I would say that the numbers of people in those six churches is less than 1,000. I would guess that. I wouldn't think it's over 1,000 of all six churches combined of how many people are in church this morning. With almost 1 million people in this three-city area. Do the percentage on that. And then put that percentage in the wattage of a light bulb and see how bright that light's going to be among 1 million people in this surrounding area. Not a very bright light. There's more darkness than there is light. Because there's more darkness than light, then guess what? Darkness is ruling the day. That's why the devil, the thief, coming back over to steal, to kill, and to destroy. That's what happened down there in Texas. Steal, kill, destroy. You glorify and magnify Satan, this is what you get. Brethren, down there in Haiti, I'm going to close with this. And our nation's quickly becoming there. We got a lot of Wiccans in this area. We got a lot of those that practice the occult in this area. I dealt with this week. I lost some sleep one night because dealing with some situations with somebody that's involved in Wicca. And the battle's on, brethren. The battle is on. Christians need to pull their head out of the sand. When you got Wiccans and occultists who are fasting and praying against churches, that pastors will leave, that homes will be destroyed within here, and any other church out here is preaching the gospel, you got Wiccans and occultists praying against us. Brother, it's dark. It's dark. I had a pastor that a witch, or what? My pastor back home, they hated him so much that a witch sent blood to his door. Brother, these battles are on. These battles are on. So I say that the devil's come to kill, to steal, destroy. The fight is on, O Christian soldier. Then began men to call upon me. Lord, here we have death that reigns, but we have the victory in Jesus Christ. You see, though we might lose our life physically because of death, because these bodies have not been redeemed, we have victory through Jesus Christ that we now can be that light that can shine, like I said over there in Philippians, in a crooked and a perverse nation, among whom we shine as lights in this dark world. Jesus says in the latter part of verse 10, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. You see, as we read there in Genesis chapter 5, death passed from generation to generation to generation. It's death and just death and just death and just death. Brethren, it ought not to surprise us, and I'm not saying this lightly. Please, I'm not saying this lightly. But if someone dies, it's not a surprise. Because it's been happening for the last 6,000 years. Until the Lord calls us home and gives us a new body, or the rapture occurs, and He brings in the millennium, and in a new heaven, new earth, there's going to be death because of sin. So some will say, well, God, why did you let this person die? Why not? Because of sin. And I don't say that lightly, and I'm not saying that carelessly, and I'm not saying that callously. But there's death because of sin. That's why we preach the gospel. That's why we should be so fervent that someone hears about Jesus Christ and gets saved. So that though they may die in this physical body, they won't face that second death of the soul and spirit.
Amen.
Do you see that's why it's important for Christians to be fervent about their faith and their walk with God, to hunger and thirst after righteousness, because the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. The more we go further on in these dark days, we're going to be Christians that are going to have a fervent prayer life, and also even add in their fasting. because of what we're facing. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity this morning. Lord, I thank you for your goodness and your mercy and grace. Lord, help us to glean these principles found in your Bible, Lord. Some of these things are not pleasant to God. Sin is not pleasant, Lord. Lord, death is not pleasant. Lord, I don't like to think about it, dear God. Lord, I don't like to think about it, Lord. Lord, I don't like funerals, dear God. I don't like cemeteries, dear God. And Lord, I can't wait till someday everything's made right. Lord, I can't wait for that day. Lord, where there'll be no more death, there'll be no more sorrow, there'll be no more tears, there'll be no more grief, Lord. But God, until that day occurs, dear God, help us to be faithful. Lord, help us to see the principles found in your word. Lord, not just see the principles, but Lord, help us to live the principles found in this book. So Lord, we'll give you glory and honor and praise. We ask these things now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Take a little break here. We'll get started just a little bit.